It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day today, and today we're going to talk about the holiday plants that we bring in to brighten up the season. Poinsettia, holiday cactus, Norfolk pine, amaryllis bulbs, maybe even the biggest holiday planted of all, a Christmas tree. Erin Style is here, Assistant Director of Ryman Gardens in Ames. Hello, Erin.
Good morning.
And Richard Giron is here, Iowa State University Extension Horticulture Specialist. Hello, Richard.
Good morning.
Thank you both so much for being here. And of course, as the hour goes on, you're welcome to join our conversation with your questions at 866-780-9100. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org or tweet us at Iowa Public Radio. And we do bring all of these beautiful plants into our homes this time of year. I think this is a tradition as old as the winter solstice to bring greenery inside, right?
Yeah.
So
something that's alive.
Right,
you know?
Alive.
Yeah,
and
it is.
And a
and
color
green.
Amidst all of the white.
And brown.
Right. Yes, and much brown as well. All right, let's talk about some of these plants because we love them. Some of us want to try to nurse them on for years and years. I want to start with the holiday cactus because this is a plant that can live so long. And a lot of us have holiday cacti that have been in our family maybe for more than a generation.
Yeah, yeah.
So tell me a little bit about the plant.
So holiday cactus kind of broadly refers to several different species of these plants that are sometimes called Christmas cactus. They tend to bloom around Christmas time, Thanksgiving cactus around Thanksgiving. There's even an Easter cactus that will bloom in the spring. But all of them are treated much in the same way. Most of the year, they're these big flattened green stems that like to dry out between waterings. But this time of year, many of us, if we have one, have seen it either it's already blooming or it's just getting started.
All right. And how do you take care of it? Once you can buy them fairly inexpensively at every store right now.
True.
So if you bring one home, what do you need to know?
You need to make sure that the plant stays consistently watered when it has buds and flowers. If it is allowed to dry out, which normally wouldn't be a big deal for this plant, but when it's in flower or when it's in bud, that would be the first thing that comes off if it were to dry out. So keep it nice and consistently well-watered, not over-watered, not sitting in water or anything like that, and that will allow those flowers to last as long as possible.
All right, and it is a cactus, so mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit more about watering.
Yeah.
Do you need to be really careful not to overwater?
You do. It's easy to potentially overwater this, especially if you let water sit in the tray underneath the container, or if it's in a plastic or foil sleeve, if you let water sit in that. So that will be really important. These are a really interesting cactus because they don't grow in deserts. They actually grow as epiphytic plants up on top of other plants in kind of temperate and kind of rainforest kinds of situations. It's kind of cool how they grow. So the location where they're growing isn't necessarily very dry in terms of the ecosystem, but where they are, because they're up on top of other plants, there's not a lot of water that sits there. And so that's why making sure that they don't sit in water ever is so important.
All right. And you said they tend to bloom this time of year or around the designated holiday that they are named after.
Yes.
They are not precise timepieces.
No, they are not at all.
But also we hear from a lot of people who say, I've had one for years and I can't get it to bloom anywhere close to Christmas. So what do they need and what do we need to nurture those blossoms?
There's a combination of temperature and day length that brings them into bloom. And it's kind of this interesting dynamic. And so if you have one that's not been blooming very well or at all, it's likely that the day length or the temperature, more likely the day length is off. So if that plant is in your kitchen, for example, where you have the lights on every single night for multiple hours a night, it may not be getting a short enough day or a long enough night to actually bring it into flower. So a lot of times if you're seeing that, moving it to a room that doesn't have a lot of lights in it, maybe a spare bedroom or a front room that you don't use at night as often, may allow it to get those longer nights that it needs to bring it into bloom.
All right. And temperature, what's the...
They like a little bit cooler temperature. So
that spare bedroom is good for that too.
Yeah, yeah. That's why the only problem with the spare bedroom is if you're not in there very often, it could come into bloom and then be finished before you even notice it's blooming. So I may have done that once.
you walk in and realize, and oh, the flowers are over.
Yeah.
All right. So, but ideally, you might want to keep it in there and then move it into a living space once it blossoms.
Once it starts to set bud, you can move it wherever so that you can enjoy it while it's in flower.
All right. And these do last a long time. Any tricks for keeping them over the decades?
Just making sure that they don't get overwatered. Bright and direct light is ideal for them. And once you find a good spot for it, just let it be. They don't need to be repotted very often at all. As they can go for years and years and years without having to put in a different pot. And they do get relatively large over time, and people worry that the pot is too small. They don't mind being a little crowded in that pot. That's not a big deal for them. So just kind of once you've found that it's in a spot that it seems to be happy, just let it alone.
All right. Now, I want to talk next about Norfolk pine because I kill one of these once a year.
Yes.
Tell me how to take care of a Norfolk pine. I mean, these are plants that are they're all over the place this time of year.
Yeah.
They are beautiful. They're very green. We have used them as a replacement for a Christmas tree sometimes.
Yep.
But they also seem to be a little bit sensitive.
They are a little bit. And usually when you see them in the store this time of year, they have little red bows tied to the end of the branches.
Yeah,
they may even
so
have glitter spread on them sometimes.
I don't bring anything with glitter into my home, but I've seen that.
Yes. So these are... a conifer, a needle conifer, that's nice for indoors because they don't tend to drop needles. So they're not messy that way. But what happens is when they're unhappy, rather than dropping the individual needles, they tend to drop entire branches. And these are plants that in their native habitats get very large. They were used for shipbuilding when they were found first in the Pacific Islands. So this is a plant that over time will get really, really big. And normally when we buy it, it's relatively small. It really wants as bright light as you can provide it indoors. And it really prefers a lot more humidity than we can typically provide in our homes, especially during the winter. And when humidity and light levels are low, they tend to start dropping lower branches. And eventually that works its way all the way up the plant. Much like we just mentioned with the Christmas cactus, overwatering is really tough on this plant. Like most conifers, they don't like to sit in water. And so making sure you're not letting water sit in the tray, or if it's in a plastic sleeve, letting water sit in there for an extended period of time is really important. Letting it dry out between waterings, but not completely, just to the point where the soil is dry to the touch on the surface, then watering it thoroughly, and then letting that cycle repeat itself over and over is really important for this plant.
All right. But the lack of humidity in my home is going to continue to be a problem.
It's challenging. They do like a little bit higher humidity than even most conifers do. And you can always tell when a Norfolk Island pine is really happy because it does have a lot of its lower branches still.
All right. So maybe the bathroom is where I should keep a Norfolk Island
pine. If you have a space big enough. Remember, these things get really big over time.
All right. Well, we'll probably try again. And much to the amusement of the cats that live in my house, they seem like big fans. Let's talk about poinsettia, because we all bring these into our homes, or many of us do this time of year. And they are beautiful and come in a wide variety of colors. What do we need to know?
It's important for this plant in particular. This is a tropical plant, and weather like today has been pretty decent to move these things around. But when it's cold out, it needs to be protected. It should be the last thing you buy before you go home on a shopping trip. It should get into a warm car. It should be sleeved and covered when it's outside, because even a short period of time exposed to cold temperatures will cause leaves to blacken or drop off. So once you get it home safely, you want to make sure it's in a good, bright location without drafts, warm or cold, and that you keep it watered but not too wet.
All right. Well, we can talk more about poinsettia if we need to. But Richard, I know that you are a big proponent of treating them as an annual plant that you get and enjoy and let go of. We can talk more in a few minutes. We're going to take a short break. With me today, Aaron Style, Assistant Director of Ryman Gardens in Ames, and Richard Duran, Iowa State University Extension Horticulture Specialist. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day today, and with me, Richard Duran, Iowa State University Extension Horticulture Specialist, and Aaron Style, Assistant Director of Ryman Gardens in Ames. And they are here to answer your questions. Send us an email, talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. You can also tweet us at Iowa Public Radio, Or there's plenty of time to get on the phones. The phone number is 866-780-9100. 866-780-9100. Again, Twitter, at Iowa Public Radio. Richard, just before the break, I said maybe it's a good idea just to treat that poinsettia as an annual plant, but you can coax it back into bloom the next year.
But even if you don't, but you give it good care, it should be fine for maybe 6, 7, 8 weeks. Attractive. And then at that point, you could toss it if you want. If you want to keep it, basically, you would treat it like a house plant. And maybe in March, maybe prune it back by half or so. It's going to start to regrow. And then in mid to late May, bring it outside. Initially, you put it in complete shade and then gradually expose it to longer periods of sunlight. And then after about a week or 10 days, choose a partly sunny site, dig a hole, set the pot in the ground, and basically keep it outside during the summer, water when necessary. And then bring it inside in early to mid-September. Put it in a very bright location. And then beginning in early October, it's a short day plant. So in early October, it needs complete darkness from like 5 p.m. in the afternoon until 8 each morning. And you have to do this for basically 8 straight weeks, each and every single day. And you could put it in a closet in the afternoon, take it out in the morning. You could put a cardboard box over it, but you have to do that for basically 8 weeks. And it's a short day plant, and after those 8 weeks, it's colored and you have your plant.
All right, so it's a serious hobby if
well,
you take this on.
It takes some effort, yes.
And I will say, even when you do that, it doesn't look as nice as the one you buy at the store.
It doesn't, no.
All right. So be advised. Make your plans accordingly. We have this email from Elizabeth in Waverly. She said, you mentioned that Christmas cacti live so long that they can be in the same family for multiple generations. Mm-hmm. They sure can. She says, the Christmas cactus that I have in my kitchen, which will be shared with my young adult children, is from my great grandfather. So that's at least 5 generations enjoying the same plant. Mm-hmm. That is really cool. If you want to share a plant like that with members of your family, do they do well from cuttings?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. They root very easily. All you have to do is remove those segments. They should be at least, I would say, 4 to 5 segments in length. And you just basically stick those in either perlite or coarse sand. Keep it moist. And they root very readily. And you have new plants. Very
All
easy.
Right. That's a wonderful holiday present
yes.
to share with the whole family. All right. Mary is on the line at 866-780-9100 from Fairfield. Hi, Mary.
Hi. My question is, when I search for a nice amaryllis bulb to give as a gift, there are such a range of prices and sizes. And how do you find and how do you determine when it's going to be a nice flower? Do you go from the size of the bulb? Anyway, that's my question.
I would look at size of the bulb and also the firmness. So you want a big bulb, and they vary in size quite a bit, but a big bulb and something that's very, very solid, very firm. And oftentimes, you'll start to see some of the shoots coming out of the bulb. That way you know you've got at least one flower stalk or two, and sometimes 3 if you have a really large bulb. So look for size and firmness.
And then do you also look at if it has some roots, or do the roots matter?
That doesn't really matter as much, no. But you can find these at discount stores. You can find them at garden centers. And I found some at discount stores that were very, very good. So it varies.
Okay, well, that's my question. Thank you very much.
All right, thanks a lot for your call, Mary. And they are so incredibly resilient. I was walking through the drugstore the other day, and there was a whole rack of amaryllis bulbs, and I don't even think they were planted, and there were some that were already blooming, like sticking out of the cardboard boxes.
And they actually do take some where they dip the bulb in either bright red or gold wax, and they sell those. I think that's plant abuse to some extent. But you can buy those, and they will bloom without doing anything. You don't have
really?
To pot it up. But the flowers only last for maybe typically 2 or 3 days because they don't have a root system.
Oh, okay.
And so they will bloom, and they're kind of unique, but if you really want them to last, you want to pot them up.
Well, and those blooms really do last for quite a while.
They
and they're so beautiful. Mm-hmm. And we need all the blossoms we can get in January, in my personal opinion. So you can call it plant abuse, and I'll just call it a waste of a beautiful flower. You can join our conversation, 866-780-9100. Tweet us at Iowa Public Radio or send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Earl says that he has a drainage area in his yard. He's wondering if mixing sand into the soil in that area would improve drainage.
Well, if it has a lot of clay in it, it may not. Because if you mix clay and sand, you tend to end up with concrete or something very, very hard. So if it's kind of a very heavy clay type soil, what you typically want to do is add organic matter, like compost, for example. And that's typically much better. You can add sand, but you have to add huge amounts to really help if it's a clay soil.
Well, and how deep do you have to go for it to help?
At least a foot deep.
Okay.
That's
a huge undertaking.
Yeah, it is. So I would try the organic matter first.
Mm-hmm. All right, because you're going to be doing a lot of work. You might as well go with a more tried and true.
Right. You don't need as much, and you can always add more if you need to.
All right. Here's a question from Marlene. Is it time to winterize my rose bushes? And does the ground have to be frozen before you put the mulch around them?
The ground does not have to be frozen. Basically, you want the plants to be hardened off by some cold weather. They have been hardened off. And so, yes, you can absolutely do it as soon as this weekend. That's fine.
All right. And the ground has been frozen and is now unfrozen again and will probably freeze again this weekend. So.
Right. So I would try to get it done this weekend. It's supposed to be fairly nice. Next week, it's supposed to be a little bit colder than normal, so back into the 20s. So I would try to get it done this weekend.
All right. 866-780-9100 is the number for you to call with your questions. We've got some lines open for you right now, and you can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. We've talked about amaryllis bulbs. Are there other bulbs that the two of you enjoy this time of year?
Well, there's a bulb that is rather polarizing that will come out this time of year, which is paper whites. And the reason why it's polarizing is it has a very distinct and strong odor that some folks don't mind and other folks absolutely hate. But they look like little white daffodils. They're very easy to force. They don't require a chilling period, so they're a lot like amaryllis in that sense. So you can pot them up and get them to bloom a really pretty white color. But that smell, boy, some people, it really turns them off.
It's strong.
It is, yeah. Yeah, and you will get opinions about this with anybody experienced with paper whites. But that's another one that you'll find in stores. They're usually right next to the amaryllis. They're often a very pretty white color, which makes them popular this time of year because of that.
All right. Well, and so know your audience.
Yes.
If you're going to give that as a host or hostess gift, make sure that it's welcome, huh?
Exactly. Yeah. And the odor that people will use to describe, or the words they'll use to describe this odor, aren't always very pleasant words. So
I would describe it as musky.
Musky is a very polite way to describe it.
Musky.
Yeah.
All right. A musky smell and a beautiful flower.
And folks who are not bothered by it will describe it as slightly lemony or slightly citrusy. It's kind of like I think it's almost a genetic thing that the way people react to cilantro.
All right. Mm-hmm. Well, and we talked about Norfolk pine earlier, but there are a lot of other mini Christmas trees that you see. Do you have thoughts about those? Are there some that last better than others?
So you will actually see actual spruces and firs, very small ones in containers. Those are really hard to overwinter and put out in your yard, almost impossible. So if you want to get those, you can, but treat it as a temporary plant because it's going to be hard to get it outside and be successful. The other one I see a lot this time of year are little rosemary topiaries. They're usually trimmed into a cone shape. They're very pretty. Rosemary is not winter hardy for us here in Iowa, so if you wanted to keep it year to year, you'd have to bring it in over the winter. It needs a lot of light and usually tends to drop a lot of leaves over the winter for us and can sometimes get things like spider mite. It's a little on the touch and go side for overwintering, So that's another one that you could bring in, enjoy the smell, maybe even harvest from it, and then, you know, compost it.
Okay. Well, and you mentioned that it's a topiary, so it's been trimmed pretty significantly to make it look like a tree, right?
Look like a tree. Otherwise, they're big, broad, rounded shrubs.
Mm-hmm. All right. So if you wanted to try to replicate that for next year, you would have your work cut out for you.
Yes. Yes, you would. You would have to do a lot of trimming. But, you know, rosemary is a nice herb to have around, and you certainly can keep it from year to year if you have the right indoor conditions to overwinter it in, which is bright light and higher humidity than most of us have in our homes.
All right. And if you are cooking for your family, say, Aaron, and mm-hmm. you have a rosemary topiary that you picked up at the store, would you feel comfortable using that rosemary?
If I knew a little bit more about where it came from, absolutely. So if it came from a local greenhouse and I could ask about how they sprayed it, I would feel very comfortable with it. If it came from like a discount supplier where I don't know the source of it, sometimes they're treated with chemicals that are not intended for consumption, for plants that are eaten. So you have to be kind of careful about that.
All right. And mm-hmm. we will get to more questions. We do have phone lines open for you at 866-780-9100, 866-780-9100. But I want to ask you about the biggest plant we bring in this time of year. It really is a crazy tradition when you think about the fact that we cut down a whole tree and then we bring it inside our homes. When we're picking out a Christmas tree, what do we need to be thinking about?
You want to get a tree that is green and
fresh.
Yeah. And you know, if it's dropping a lot of needles, if it's at a place that's had trees sitting in their lot since October, you might think twice about purchasing in there, because it really does make a big difference. The longer it sits out of water, the more likely it is to start dropping a lot of needles and to brown up sooner. So as freshly cut as you can get it, bring it inside, make a fresh cut before you put it in water, and watch that water, especially the first handful of days. It will suck up a lot of water, and making sure that that reservoir does not go dry will make a big difference for the next 4 or so weeks on that tree.
Now, and you stress the importance of that, although that is the thing that all of us mess up.
Oh, I know. It's the hardest part about it. Absolutely.
a tree with a 4-inch diameter trunk can absorb a gallon of water in 24 hours. So that's a lot of water. So initially, check it probably in the morning and once in the evening.
And investing in a tree stand with a good reservoir, a big reservoir, mm-hmm. is a good option too. A lot of tree stands do not have big reservoirs, which is kind of amazing when you think about how they grow.
All right. And because so many of us mess that up, we also have a lot of offers for things that might make your tree stay green and healthy longer. Maybe we can use the kinds of chemicals or the vitamin C that we put in with our cut flowers. What do you think about any of these additives?
They don't work.
Yeah, they're not really necessary.
I've tried it, so it doesn't work.
And Richard, you even tried Sprite.
Yes.
In your Christmas tree 1 year, didn't you?
Because
that's one of the things that people tell you.
I saw this recipe in the newspaper, and I added it to the water, and after several days, it started to smell. There was this hideous smell, and so I had to get down on my hands and knees with a turkey baster and take out the water. So it wasn't fun. So don't do it.
You will have regrets. Serious regrets.
Yeah.
All right. Well, and how long do you think you could keep a Christmas tree healthy in your house?
Typically 3 to 4 weeks if you keep it well watered.
Mm-hmm. All right. So don't try to hang on to it all the way through January.
No.
All right. We will take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. It's Horticulture Day on Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. With me, Richard Duran, Iowa State University Extension Horticulture Specialist, and Aaron Stile, Assistant Director of Ryman Gardens in Ames. They are here to answer your questions. So please email us, talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org, or give us a call. 866-780-9100 is the number. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day today. With me, Aaron Stile, Assistant Director of Ryman Gardens in Ames, and Richard Giron, Iowa State University Extension Horticulture Specialist. We have been talking about holiday plants this hour, but Richard and Aaron are here to answer any of your questions about any of the plants and trees in your life. You can give us a call at 866-780-9100. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.com. Or tweet us at Iowa Public Radio. Gerald is on the line next in Waterloo. Hi, Gerald.
Yes. I've got about a little over 2 acres of prairie grass. It's been in for about 25 years. And the blue stem has just kind of taken over the forbs and everything else. You can barely find them. And I just wondering what is the best way to try to rejuvenate that.
Boy, I think it's going to be hard, because the bluegrass is such a vigorous plant. You may have to possibly kill certain areas and try to replant some of your forbs. That might be one approach.
Gerald, are you in a position to burn the prairie, or are you in town and can't do that?
No. It's up on my pond in a field, so it's easy to burn and stuff.
Well, so Richard and I were just talking with Adam Jenke a couple of weeks ago on Horticulture Day, and Adam was saying that if you burn in the fall, that tends to favor the forbs, but if you burn in the spring, that tends to favor the grasses. So is that an approach you'd try?
Yeah, that's. I kind of just caught the tail end of it the other week, and that's why I called a day. It's supposed to be nice this weekend, and I could burn it off if that's. I just kind of caught a little bit of that, so.
Yeah, I think that would definitely be something to try. Okay. What do you think, Richard?
They could try that.
And would it help in the summer? If years ago when I was farming beans, and they used to have weed wipers where you put on your loader and you go through for the tall stuff in the beans, could a person put that on and go through and that grass gets up with Roundup and just weed wipe that stuff? Would that do any good?
Well, you could, I suppose, try that.
Yeah.
That would destroy some of the grass and maybe leave more space for some of the other plants. But I'm not sure how precise that's going to be.
Yeah, okay. And one follow-up, is it too early to start trimming up some oak trees?
Absolutely not. Nope.
Okay.
You can do it now. You can do it in January, February. It should probably be done by early March. So you got plenty of time.
Yeah.
But we've had plenty of cold temperatures, so they're fine.
Okay, thank you. Love the program. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks a lot for your call, Gerald. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. And I mean, Richard, I think it's hard to remember after this gorgeous week that we've had. It's a little bit difficult to remember how cold it was before. So we've had really hard freezes. We are in great shape for anything that we'd want to do in the wintertime, right?
We had below zero temperatures around mid-November here in central Iowa. So as far as pruning oaks, I would assume it would have been fine since that date when we had those very cold temperatures.
All right. Another holiday plant that I want to ask about, I know that a lot of people are looking for alternative Christmas tree options. Mm-hmm. And something that a lot of people love the idea of is buying a tree, a potted tree that they can then plant outside. So give me your advice on how to make that work, because I know that that's really tricky.
It is very tricky.
You have to have
advanced
planning on that one.
You do. So if you want to make this work, first off, the tree cannot live in your house for weeks and weeks and weeks. What happens is it pulls it out of dormancy. You start getting buds that are starting to break. And then when you go to shuttle it back outside in January, all those buds die, and that'll essentially end up killing the plant. The other thing you have to plan for is you got to dig the hole in advance because the ground's frozen otherwise. So you have to know what size container you're going to have, and you have to have that hole dug and put like a piece of plywood over it or something so nobody falls in it, and have that ready to go so that you can set the tree in that hole after you're done using it. The only way to really truly be successful with a potted tree is to do the very old tradition of decorating the tree maybe a day or two before Christmas and getting it back outside a day or two after Christmas. If you are looking for something that's going to be in your home from Thanksgiving until after the new year, a potted tree will not work for that.
Are there any particular species, if you are committed to, I'll just keep it inside for 3 days, are there any particular species that, that do better in those conditions?
Well, you know, a fir or a pine are a little easier on the person because they're not so pokey. But a spruce would work too. So any of them could potentially work.
And it should be fairly small. It shouldn't be this, you know, 6-7 foot tree. Mm-hmm. Probably should be more like maybe 3 foot, maybe 4 foot. The bigger they are, the harder they are to overwinter. So,
and the bigger probably, the pot is, too.
Yes, as far as hauling it inside the house and moving it around. So it probably should be a fairly small tree, too. So,
all right. And let me just ask for someone who's super resistant to the idea that they have had to plan ahead and they still want to try to pull it off. When you said, you know, you can't just keep it in your house all winter, but what if you did keep it inside throughout the winter and waited until spring when it warms up to take it out? Would you have messed up this tree? Would it have a hard time surviving that?
Yeah, the dormancy period would be all thrown off. It also would be in a lot less light than it really wants. Mm. And so you're probably going to see a lot of needle drop. And you may see some insect issues that pop up inside, and so it would be a very tough road.
Okay, it could get ugly.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Here's a question from Alice in Shoeyville. Are poinsettias truly toxic to my dogs?
No, they're not.
All right.
But again, they're not meant for human consumption or pet consumption.
Right. So you really don't feed them.
Don't feed them, but they're not poisonous, no.
All right, good news. Ben is not on the line anymore. Let's instead go to Cheryl in Clear Lake. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What's your question?
I donated to the Arbor Day Foundation, and just this week they sent me 5 PG hydrangeas. And, you know, all the instructions say to plant them in the ground, and we have 4 inches of snow. So I don't know how to keep these dormant bare root plants viable for spring. Any suggestions?
Well, I would go out this weekend and see if the ground is frozen. If it's not, I would kind of brush away the snow and actually plant them outside.
Okay.
If you can't do that, then if you had, for example, maybe a unheated garage that was attached, that does get cold, but not extremely cold in winter, you might put them in there.
Right.
And make sure.
Do I put them in dirt or just leave them in just leave them bare root?
Oh, these are bare root.
If I put them in the garage, okay.
Well, you have to pot them up. They either go in the ground or you pot them up. And so if they're not in pots, pot them up, water them in nicely. I'd probably leave them maybe in a cool place, but definitely above freezing for a few weeks so the plants have a chance to absorb some water. And then put them in that garage and water them periodically if they get dry and hope they survive.
Right.
But it's kind of a poor time to be planting things outside at this point.
That's what I thought. I was a little bit shocked when the package came, but
really unfortunate timing.
Right.
All right. Good luck, Cheryl. Thanks a lot for your call.
All right, thank you.
Yeah. Let's go next to Tom in Mason City. Hi, Tom.
Hi, good morning. I live in Butler County. I'm in Mason City this morning. But my question is, I haven't lived in this area for a very long time, and this summer I put in 4 rose bushes. I have already mulched the crowns of the rose bushes well. What I have not done, though, is trim the rose bushes, and I don't know how far above the ground I should trim them down to.
Right now, don't trim them at all. The best time to prune back rose bushes is as soon as they start to bud out or green up in the spring, and then you just prune them back to wherever you start seeing green so that you can remove anything that may have died back on the top. But this time of year, don't do any pruning. Wait until spring. It's usually around the first part of April when you start to notice that greening, those plants greening up, and that's when you can do that pruning.
Okay, great. So I'm good for now.
Yep. I took something off your list.
All right. Thanks a lot for your call, Tom. Next up, Jim in Jefferson. Hi, Jim.
Hello. Good morning. Yeah, my question was on pruning trees. I've got several that I want to prune a hackberry tree, a pine tree, and a red oak tree. And was mostly concerned about the red oak, if it's okay to go ahead and do that tomorrow.
With the oaks, it's fine. We typically want to prune those in December, January, February. As far as the other deciduous trees, there's different opinions, but you can definitely prune them in late winter, which would be like March, or also in midsummer would be a good time, too. So either time.
Oh, okay. On the hackberry, midsummer is good.
Yeah, you can do it in midsummer.
Is now good on that?
You could do it now. I would be inclined to probably wait on that and probably do it in March.
Okay. And white pine?
They typically don't need a lot of pruning, but if I had to do that, if I was going to remove, let's say, a lower branch, I'd probably do it in March also.
Okay. Well, I'm all anxious to do it. And I thought, well, I'm not doing anything. How about today?
Sorry, Jim.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'll get busy on the oak tree. I was just concerned about the oak wilt, if that was going
Right. That's a disease that is spread by an insect. And obviously in the winter months, that insect is not present, so it's perfectly safe.
All right, Jim, thanks a lot for your call. And final caller of the hour, Ben. Hi, Ben.
Hey, guys. Hello.
Hi, what's your question? Ben, are you there?
Yes.
What's your question?
The question is, my daughter got a coconut and wanted to know how to plant it to start a coconut tree. She claims you can buy them in a store and start them that way, too. I don't know. I was wondering how you do that.
Mm. All right. What do you think? Can you grow a palm tree?
We're not sure. We're looking at each other.
Yeah.
And we're not
so
sure.
Maybe get an avocado instead and work on that little avocado tree.
That's pretty easy, actually. But the coconut, we're not sure on that.
All right, you start with the avocado, work your way up to the coconut. Ben, thank you so much for your call. And Aaron Style, thank you.
Thanks.
Aaron Style, Assistant Director of Ryman Gardens in Ames. Richard Giron, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Richard Giron, Iowa State University Extension Horticulture Specialist. Talk of Iowa is a production of Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbie.